You're listening to Feeding the Mouth That Bites You with Ashley Parrish and Jessica Pfeiffer,
a weekly podcast guide on parenting teens and launching them into the world. As always, we are joined by psychologist and author, Dr. Ken Wilgus.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back. On today's podcast, we'll be discussing critical teenagers and critical parents.
This is going to be an interesting episode, Dr. Ken, because it's hard when your teenager criticizes you. Sometimes you recognize some of that criticism in yourself. So I'm looking forward to this episode and talking about some of the aspects of critical thinking towards each other, critical words towards each other.
Yeah, we aim for critical thinking. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. That's not the kind of thing we're talking about.
Not the same.
You know, I think it's one of the reasons why when I do family therapy, if you will, with teenagers and their parents, but I rarely have them in the room together. Just because it really depends on the teenager, whether I can trust that they're going to be constructive and able to really put into words the things that they are concerned about, rather than just kind of launching into a tirade in which parents have a bad habit of answering as well. And it just kind of becomes this sort of criticism battle, and it's not very useful.
Mm-hmm. It's hard. You feel engaged when they start to fight with you and criticize the way you do things or tell you you're doing it all wrong.
Well, it surprises me some on how many teenagers nowadays do that. I don't think, I mean, I'm sure I was critical of my parents, but not much and not very loud. We've said so many times before that parents of this generation have worked hard to be closer to their children. They don't want to be scary and distant, which is a good thing. But how many times have we mentioned that when it comes to critiquing you and really just being openly hostile, it can be surprising how much teenagers lay into their parents.
Well, before we get too far, Dr. Ken, often the criticism from our teens comes packaged with sass and attitude and disrespect. So So I want you to clarify what we're going to hone in on today.
Yeah, that's a very good question. So, you know, we've talked before about when you're triggered, about when teenagers get super angry and those things. And it all overlaps, especially with we were talking about earlier. I don't know if we did a specific episode on it or not, but the issue of respect from teenagers, this kind of overlaps all of those. Mm-hmm. So what we're not talking about is an almost explosive tirade that occurs sometimes, but that's kind of a different issue. But we're also not talking about overt disrespect, which we say would be name calling, giving you direct orders, those sort of, these are the things that don't really fit in overly angry tone. And yet the words that your kid is saying is really hurtful. And again, some kids I have are quite in the habit of discussing openly about they don't think you're making the right purchases. You're not aware of, very often it's a try to defend or get what they want by critiquing you and, you know, talking like you don't know what you want, which I always find hilarious. These are 15, 16 year old, you know, young adults. They don't really know anything, but they're old enough to throw out stuff that really does sound, you know, pretty critical, pretty basically something that parents feel like they need to answer.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to point out that we did talk a little bit about anger in episode 43.
Yeah.
And we sprinkled disrespect into a lot of different episodes that we've talked about. I don't know that we did one very specific one. And then we also talked about triggers in episode number 88, which there, of course, kids will find the thing that they think that you're, you know, upset about or might hurt you, and they might pull that right out of their back pocket and,
right,
you know, get you with it. So that was episode 88.
And specifically in the book, under the chapter of limit setting, there is a sub part about respect and being careful about setting those rules. So it's there, but the book doesn't say anything specifically about what about these with some of your kids' tirades of criticism about you as a parent, as a spouse, all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm. So let's give kind of an example, and then you tell us how to handle it, Dr. Ken.
Okay.
Say my kid comes to me and says, you know, Mom, you don't know anything about anything because dad makes all the money around here. All you do is sit here and watch TV and eat bonbons.
I don't think they say bonbons anymore. I think that was, but the point is made. You're eating Kit Kats. So I think, you know, the point there, and I'm sure we talked about this with triggers, is that one of the first things you should know is that almost always that's being brought up because some part of them can tell that you're insecure about that. That's teenagers are quite good at sensing what you may feel uncomfortable. And a lot of women who are stay-at-home moms have a moderate amount of insecurity about does this mean that I, quote, don't do anything compared to my peers and the other women that are out working full-time and stuff. So it wouldn't be a surprise if your teenager maybe picked up on something like that or whatever it is that they're talking about. So the first thing to examine is the real likelihood that they're not really even really criticizing. They're just picking up a hammer that you happen to throw down that they realize they can whack you with. And in those cases, it's as much a reason to be careful about how you respond because, you know, in that example, if you give a strong, angry, reasoned articulation of why I do know what I'm talking about, I guarantee you that's not going to slow them down. That's only a sign of, haha, this seems to be working. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of times the first thing to consider is maybe, and I mean this sincerely, maybe this doesn't need to be answered at all. And that's what I find with a lot of parents. It's really difficult for them to imagine. They want us to kind of agree, sort of like, oh, okay. So I see what you're saying. Let me explain, you know, kind of what really is going on. And then you'll realize and you won't make that silly criticism again. Nope, that is not how it works. Very often, it's a way of, since you won't go along with what I want, like purchase me this thing or whatever, then I'll turn and critique you that, you know what, you're not any good at knowing stuff either. And those things are, it's important that you not answer that you essentially not give that too much credit to even deserve much of an answer.
And that's the hard part because you get all wound up and irritated and you're telling us to kind of just dismiss it and walk away. Like, well, that was interesting and that's walk right. away.
And it's kind of the volume or the intensity of that is usually controlled by those two things. One, is it an issue for you? Or two, the more common one is also you and this teenager are kind of close emotionally and you're finding it difficult to handle the pretty standard times where, you know, if you're doing right with teenagers, they're not going to like you for a few hours or a few days at certain points if you've said no to something. And sometimes if we're kind of emotionally counting on this teenager to still be kind of connected to me, then you will really try way too hard to explain everything and you'll end up looking silly.
So Dr. Kin, I would assume then more often than not, no answer is the best answer or to kind of brush it off. But what if you notice that your teen is being very critical of almost everything you do? Is it a matter of the heart? Do we stop at some point and say, what is going on?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Yeah, sometimes not only are you not trying to argue your case to these things, but if you notice that they're down on everything, then it's definitely worth sitting down, at least trying. And again, very often a teenager can't sit down and say, well, I'm feeling very discouraged inside and overall depressed. They don't know, but it's worth asking, hey, what is this? You seem to not like anything I do. And, you know, point that out to them. And again, as you know, as feeding the mouth parents, very likely the first theory of why are they mad at me all the time is some sense of they feel over controlled. That doesn't mean you're over controlling, but the most common is that you know, teenagers endure from parents what they receive as condescending and disrespectful, and they get really upset about it. So that's a thing to look for first, but you're right. It could be lots of things that's worth just, not only am I not going to answer that, but can you tell me why you're just blasting everything that comes out of my mouth or comes out of your, you know, the other parent in my mouth?
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about when your teens criticize others, maybe the other parent, if you are divorced, it's sometimes you can see exactly what your teenager is criticizing and quite you know, agree with them about that situation. So it's hard to not say, yeah, you're right. He's exactly that, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
Or if they're talking about your spouse who you know very well, and you might actually agree with them on that too. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Your dad's that way, you know? So what do you do in that situation when they're criticizing someone else in front of you? Do you defend them? Do you
keep your mouth shut? When they're criticizing your spouse and you have that sense of inner recognition, like, I know, I feel the same way. You really have to remind yourself, and this isn't as obvious, and some parents won't even agree with me, but I'm telling you, it's worth thinking about. No matter how similar this teenager is telling you that he or she experiences their other parent, it is not the same experience you have. So for example, if you've got a daughter that's telling you that, you know, dad he never listens. He just does his own thing. And I can't say anything without getting in trouble. It's not going to be unusual that some moms listening are going, I know, it's exactly how it is for me, but it is not. It feels like it is, but you're a volunteer. You're a spouse. You have much more voice. And so you want to be careful that what can feel like that we're having the same experience, you're really not. It's a teenager. It isn't the same at all. So that means that it's not just a saying it right. I think you should really examine that, that they're not actually telling you the same thing. It's particularly hard when you have an ex-spouse and they're talking about the other parent and you're not married to him anymore. Sometimes they're touching on stuff that is painful. Like, you know, my dad is scary. And you're like, yeah, that's why I divorced him and whatever. Those are things that you really have to, for the best interest of your teenager, you do not jump into that. You don't have to defend him, especially your own spouse. You definitely you need to basically tell teenagers in all these situations, did you tell your mom that? Did you tell your dad that? Like whoever it is they're critiquing, have you told them this? And if not, then, you know, you need to talk to them and you don't jump in one way or the other. It's really best that you not. Because again, it doesn't help them because their experience is different. And secondly, it doesn't help you to even do the opposite, which is defending them. You don't need to do that either. It's all about encouraging that teenager that don't sit here and criticize to me, talk to her, your mother or your father directly, which is, like I say, it's tempting to jump in when you really hear what feels like the same thing. And you got to keep that in mind that that's not good for your teenager. They have to find their own voice. Can't tell you how many teenagers I've worked with that had to find their own voice with a very over-controlling mom in a divorce situation or an over-controlling father. And the spouse, you know, the divorce spouse feels very much like, I need to kind of rescue my kids. I got to speak up. And it's, again, I'm all for that. But after adolescence, it's their mother, it's their father, even if you're not married to them anymore, and they have to find their own way to speak up. So we don't jump in on that kind of criticism, no matter how familiar it feels, which is tough.
That's good advice. I think that's good. I think that's hard, you know, because you kind of want to be the moderator in right. the situation, you know, with an ex in particular, but even with your own spouse, you know, it's easy to go back and say, I'm not the only one that thinks this about you. Your daughter was saying this
right.
about you today,
that's
you know,
right.
that's not good
we
for
took
your
a poll
marriage.
And we all agree.
Yes. Yeah. I have the results right here. Yeah. Not good.
Not good for your marriage.
No.
It's not good. And the kids pick up, the teenagers pick up on any kind of discrepancy you might have.
Everything. They pick up on everything.
Mm-hmm. So that's good.
Well, Dr. Ken, what if you have a teen that's overly critical of themselves?
You know, you're going to have a teen that's overly critical of themselves. You know, it's one of the odd things.
So it's normal.
Oh, well, it's normal in this weird fallen world that we have. You know, humans have been critical of themselves since Genesis chapter 3. And while it's certainly something that you want to, it's heartbreaking to see a teenager, they add new layers of things to dislike about themselves, much more sophisticated, their social skill, all that stuff. Yeah. It's just the thing to remember first is it's not that unusual. And so sometimes parents feel like, well, you know, we were very positive and encouraging and we provided for this teenager. What in the world does she have to be unhappy with? Well, again, you are the parent listening. Are you fully happy with yourself right now? Everything, your appearance, everything you good. That's good. Nobody is. So you shouldn't be stunned by it. And for, by the same token, you shouldn't go after it too much. Like, no, you're great. You should, you know, I would listen to it with at least some interest. Like I want to know why do you keep saying that? Is that something that you're specifically unhappy with yourself about? Or is it just part of a global flatness that's pretty common? So while it's not good, it really is not that unusual. And I would not flip out about it or even overly press to basically talk them out of it. I have parents that are like, I don't understand how you can say that. You are so smart and you're the best athlete. If you would just apply yourself, all this stuff that just negates whatever they really are feeling. And it just kind of moves you out of any possible conversation. It's actually better to take seriously. You could even throw in that, well, I don't think I liked how I looked at your age either. I'm pretty sure I didn't. And so, yeah, it must be weird. What is it new? What are you thinking? And try to join in with that, with them, which means validating some of it, or at least not invalidating every negative comment they say.
Mm-hmm. That's hard as a parent, because you do want to tell your kid, you're crazy for thinking your fingers are too fat or whatever the silly That's thing right. is that they're upset about.
That's
you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's hard. you just want to straighten them out a little bit. So let's talk about parents who criticize their teenagers. I see this as fairly common, you know, particularly around sports and things like that. You know, you hear about dad, you know, berating the kid on the sideline or, you know, on the way home in the car about how they played and nitpicking every single thing that went wrong during the game or whatever. So how do you, as parents, what should we be doing about that?
I think the hard thing there is that I've known lots of very critical parents, but I can't think of a one that was conscious of, yes, I'm being critical of my teenager. In other words, that's not their goal. It's not really kind of what they think they're doing. Very often they have this sort of philosophy like, well, I think my teenagers know when they're doing well. It's the times that they're not doing well, they need to hear from me or whatever, that most of the time you think you're helping or trying to help. And if you connect that with a healthy dose of fear, then the next thing you know, you've got a parent that, you know, when your boy comes off the field, and just scored a touchdown, he's, you know, he's the one to say, you know, you actually could have run that differently. And, you know, I can't believe you haven't done this already or whatever. That parent doesn't feel critical. They feel like a kind of an urgency to try to get everything well, to teach everything and keep throwing it in there. And, you know, it's almost like successes are just a brief, you know, kind of glitch while I've got to get back to the work of teaching and encouraging. And so that parent doesn't realize they're being critical. So I think that's the important thing. If you're going to recognize and avoid being really critical, don't look for or feel good that, well, you know, I don't feel like criticizing my kids. Nobody does. But are you fearful? Do you find yourself needing to repeat your reminders and your critiques all the time? That's what a critical parent is. And so I would take seriously if your spouse tells you, if your teenager tells you that you're being critical, look for fear and that sense of urgency to try to just teach everything to a high level. That's what they mean by criticism. You don't have to find within you some part of you that wants to be critical. Nobody wants to be critical of a teenager. I'm just worried and working hard to get every teaching moment out there all the time.
Mm-hmm. Some of that goes with personalities, right?
It's true.
Critical of yourself and it kind of pours out on other people. Type A personalities are all.
That's exactly right. You'll hear your own voice coming out about the way you treat yourself, and you'll do it with your kid.
Well, this has been an interesting conversation, and I have a lot to think about, because I know that it is hard when your teenager is criticizing you to stop in that moment and think, no, just ignore it. Just walk away. Just dismiss it and step aside. And then I also need to think about my own criticism of my spouse, maybe, or maybe criticism of my kids, and notice it when it happens. I appreciate you guys talking with me about this today.
Thanks for joining us today. Hit the subscribe button so you won't miss an episode. Also, leave us a review. This is how other listeners find our podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Feeding the Mouth.
We appreciate you and would love to hear from you. If you have any questions, thoughts, or ideas about what we've discussed today, please email us at podcast@feedingthemouth.com.